This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Menopod, the podcast that's so hot right now we're sitting here in our underwear. Thank God it's not telly. Today, we're talking about those three little words that, frankly, nobody wants to hear. Middle-aged spread. It's that moment when, mysteriously and without any warning, your bra starts to dig into you. You become familiar with the term muffin top, even though you've never eaten a muffin in your life. And you stop looking in Victoria's Secret for knickers and head for the shapewear in Marks. Now, we're treating this a bit lightheartedly, but gaining weight during the menopause and beyond is a real issue for many women. Is it an inevitability, though? Something we all just have to accept and get on with, or is there something we can actively do about it? A little later, we'll be meeting our guest, Nigel Denby, who is a dietitian with a specialist interest in weight management and the menopause. He'll be taking us through the reasons why so many women gain weight in their 40s and 50s, clue, it's a lot to do with our hormones, and offers hints and tips about what we can do about it. Though, Dawn, I'm not sure you should even be allowed on this podcast because when I last saw you, you were as slim and gorgeous as ever.
Oh, No. Do you know what? It's the beauty of a large jumper, basically. Anything big covers all the lumps and bumps, doesn't it? Do you know what? I do notice that I haven't put loads of weight on, but then you know me, I am quite a picky little eater and I'm quite a healthy eater. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I fall off the healthy eating wagon sometimes in the face of cake. But other than that, I'm not too bad. But I have noticed where I've put weight on or where the weight sits on me has moved in the last year or 2 years. So it's not sort of, it's kind of thought, right, okay, whereas we used to sit mostly on your thighs, we're moving. We've packed up and we've moved and now we're going to move maybe round your tummy and or maybe round, like, I don't know, I don't want to say the words back fat because it's repulsive, but it kind of, the little bit below your waist, but kind of above your hips. And I think that maybe is a muffin top, isn't it?
I'm like you. I mean, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I could eat what I damn well liked and didn't really give a thought. I was really, you know, and I have to say, I have never run a marathon in my life. I'm not a big exerciser. I was just naturally, very fortunately, I didn't have to worry about, you know, about what my calorie intake. I would say in the last 4 or 5 years, I have probably gone up an entire dress size. And the other day I was in a shop that should remain nameless and I put a t-shirt on and it was a 12 and that wasn't going anywhere near. And then I went,
oh, so you'll never get a 12 over those boobs.
Well, I was hopeful. And then, you know, but then I went up to a 14 and then I actually bought the 16 because it was loose and comfortable. And I wasn't conscious that from the back, you could see, here's those words again, me back fat.
Yeah.
I kind of think, you know, a couple of years ago, I'd have been worried about that. But now I just think, so 16 and what if it's 20? As long as you look good in it and you feel good in it and it's fine, then.
Well, no one's seeing the label, are they?
Exactly. I suppose the trouble.
What they will see is the back fat.
Correct. And so it doesn't really, you know, in some shops you're a 14, in some shops you're an 18. Doesn't really matter. I think for some women, though, it really does matter. I think their weight gain, although we're talking about it in quite a lighthearted manner, I think for women who have gained weight, it's a real issue.
Well, it all plays into your confidence, doesn't it? I think weight is one of those things that really plays into your self-confidence and, you know, feeling like, oh, look, okay today, which we all want to do, don't we? You know, when you're sort of going out and you want to be able to go out and think, oh, okay, I feel like I look all right today. A lot of people's self-esteem and self-confidence is wrapped up in their weight, isn't it? And I'm not somebody who was always naturally slim. I have a natural tendency to put on weight, which is why forever I've watched what I ate, because I know that if I didn't watch what I ate, I would definitely put on weight. I have what would be politely termed the fat gene, I believe.
Is that a thing? A fat gene's a thing?
I don't know if they are or not, but I've always gone, oh, I've got the fat gene. But I just have a tendency to put on weight. I'm not somebody who's naturally thin at all. But it doesn't seem to matter how much I watch it anymore. I can't.
Well, I was going to say, has it got harder?
Yes, definitely.
You know, as you've moved into your late 40s, early 50s.
Yes. Completely. I used to be able to keep it under control, and now it's much, much harder to do anything about it. And you do feel like you're climbing uphill a little bit, and you think, what more can I do?
Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? So that's the theme. Whenever I get together with my mates, you know, yourself, other people, it will always eventually come round to them saying, to making a comment about their weight, whether or not I look at my mates, they all look fantastic to me, but in their own heads and in their own bodies, then maybe a lot of them are not happy. Yeah. Maybe I can think of a couple who are fine, who are skinny minis. But mostly this worry about not even weight gain, but shape change is a real and present thing. Well, listen, someone who can help us separate dietary fact from fiction is Nigel Denby. Nigel is a registered dietitian, an author of successful nutrition books, and a broadcaster across television and radio. And fortunately for us, his specialist area is in women's health and weight management, particularly in relation to the menopause. I'm going to kick off by whispering three little words to you, and those three little words are middle age spread. Is it inevitable when you are either perimenopausal or menopausal that you're going to put on weight? Because it feels kind of like it is.
I guess I'd slightly hold on inevitable, but it is blinking likely. Let's just look at some facts and figures to put it into perspective. We know from very good evidence that around about three quarters, 75% of women in their perimenopausal years, which, as you know, can last a couple of years or they could last 15 years, but at least three quarters of women will gain up to 10 kilograms. That's about 21 pounds, a stone and a half during that time. Stone and a half is a good dress size, and most of that weight gain will be in the upper body, the trunk area. So where women previously will have had, even if you think of yourself as on the heavier side, women will naturally have that hourglass shape, a slightly nipped in waist. And at perimenopause, when this weight gain begins to happen, you will normally start to see that shape alter and you become much more straight up and down, more like a bloke's shape. And we can go on to talk about why that happens. So inevitable, it doesn't happen to every single woman, but my God, not half, the majority.
Well, you're a chirpy chappy. I was hoping you were going to go, no, it's not inevitable at all.
So much to look forward to.
I like to tell it how it is, because my belief is if you understand what's going on with your body, you can take action. Knowledge is power here. And I think to pretend, you know, that it might not is daft. I think women, this is an area, it's why you and I are doing what we do. This is an area where women are grossly underserved with good quality, accurate information. Their GPs don't know what's going on for them. So, you know, if we can actually lay down the facts, we are so good at preparing young women for the beginning of their menstrual cycle and the fertile years, and we forget to talk to women about what's going to happen at the other end of the cycle. So yeah, forgive me if it's all a bit straight talking, but I think that's the way it needs to be.
But it's interesting what you say about a change in shape, because Sue and I have talked about this before, and all our friends say exactly the same thing, is that suddenly you notice that no matter kind of how much you try and be careful with what you eat and you exercise and all this kind of, you put weight on in areas where you've never put weight on before. So, and it tends to be around your tummy. Most friends of ours will go, I've just got this weight around my that I cannot shift. And is that a hormonal thing? Why suddenly do we find that the weight goes on in places it hadn't ever gone before?
Right. So, yeah, let's get down to business and think about, why this is so common and why it is so likely to happen. First of all, it's not your fault. This is happening because of the lack of estrogen. Estrogen was that hormone, or is that hormone, that really defines every feminine attribute that you have, including that shape. That is the female form. Now, menopause, of course, is all about changes in estrogen levels. So as your estrogen levels reduce, the way you lay down your fat tissue changes. And you start to lay down fat around that central area. It's often what we call visceral fat. So that means it's the harder to get rid of brown type of fat that is...
Sounds attractive.
Oh, it's beautiful, but it's wrapped around, it's kind of like an American tan type of fat, just a nice pair of tights colour. And it wraps around your internal organs.
Lovely.
And this is not great news. But the reason for it is that estrogen was telling your fat to lay itself down to give you that feminine shape, and now your estrogen levels are changing. So again, it changes completely. And you'll often find women will talk to me and say, it doesn't feel as if anything's changed, but all of a sudden now, my bra doesn't fit. It feels as if I've got fat on my back. It's all like muffin tops. It's around my tummy, this spare tire. That is a total hormonal thing. But something else is going on as well. So we've got a couple of elements. First thing is hormones. And whether or not you choose to use HRT, it doesn't matter on that issue. The estrogen in your HRT won't be sufficient to take you to a level high enough to change that fat deposition, as we call it.
Oh, that's interesting, because I was just about to ask that question.
All your HRT or the estrogen in your HRT there's only enough there to take the edge off your symptoms, but it's not going to change. It would need to take you back almost to your pre-menopause levels to reverse this fat deposition. So with or without HRT, you're going to have to think about lifestyle. There's something else, though, that I think is really important to get your head around, because the immediate thing, and let's face it, most women will have dieted at some point, whether it's to go on holiday in the summer or get into a little dress for Christmas or whatever it is. Most women know how to diet. The problem that you've got is that at perimenopause, the diets that worked in your 30s will not work anymore. We have to address this in a different way, because this is now a different body. It's a body that is no longer estrogen predominant, and it's also a body that is aging in physiological terms. And again, if I can just explain that a little bit. So if you bear in mind that up until about 200-300 years ago, women didn't even live long enough to experience a menopause. A human being was only ever intended to survive into the early 40s. And bear in mind, perimenopause generally starts about 46. So this wasn't an issue. So men and women start a natural process of aging, and we all start losing muscle tissue from the age of about 30. So essentially 30 would be our peak, and then we start declining. Now, that muscle tissue loss is really important, because the muscle tissue is the tissue in your body that controls your metabolic rate. So it's like the fuel efficiency in your car. It determines how efficiently you burn calories. So as you lose muscle, your metabolic rate slows down and you become less efficient. For women, that loss of estrogen at perimenopause speeds up the loss of muscle a little. So as well as being predisposed to lay down your fat differently, you're also predisposed to lay down fat more easily because your metabolic rate slows down. So if you know those two things, first of all, you can think, right, I'm not losing the plot. This is real. It's happening. And there is something very concrete here. But then what I think that gives you then is the ability to say, right, okay, so what's my part in this? Clearly, there is something going on in your diet and your lifestyle that needs to change as well. And that's where then we can get really specific, because just cutting calories won't sort this out. We've got to look at rebuilding the muscle that you're losing. And we can do that. So, yes, it's common, the weight gain. Are you stuck with it? And is there anything you can do about it? You bet your bottom dollar you can do something about it. I have absolutely no doubt any woman can get in control of this. Could somebody help me down from his soapbox?
No, I think you're quite comfortable up there. It's because I was sitting there thinking, oh my Lord, we're being assailed on all sides, aren't we? What can we do about it? There's the, you know, hormonal issue, there's the muscle loss issue. No wonder women are in a bit of a tiz if they don't understand what's happening. So if they're just saying, like Dawn says, you know what, I used to be able to quite happily control my weight when I was 35, and now I'm 50, nothing works. But actually what you're saying, things will work, that you just have to find what those new things are.
Yeah, it's just not the same things that worked before.
Absolutely. And I was going to ask, because I know you work with a lot of women in this field, and I know people, my husband, God love him, is one of them, because I'll say, I've put weight on, and he'll go, oh, I don't know why you're bothered. What's the problem? What have you? In your experience, how does it affect women, both sort of physically and mentally, to have that weight?
Again, if we think about the facts that are happening here, the one thing we forget to talk about when it comes to perimenopause is the increased risk of heart disease. So up until perimenopause, estrogen was protecting you. It gave you a level of protection that men didn't have. Now, as your estrogen levels fall, you lose that protection and your risks increase to the same as a man's. It's improved if you take HRT, but the very last thing that you need when you've got an increased risk of heart disease is fat around your belly. So that's the first thing. The reality, of course, is though, that women don't come into my clinic saying, oh, Nigel, I'm ever so worried about my risk of heart disease. Women come into my surgery absolutely furious that they are in this situation, and either the things that they did in the past aren't working, the weight battle that they've had all their life is now totally out of control, or a big group of women who have never had to think about this before are suddenly finding that they have a weight problem, you know, in their late 40s. I've worked in this field for 25 years. I love working with women going through the menopause. I think this is a group of women who are ready to take control of their lives. And it's the most fulfilling group of people I could ever want to work with. What I think is so important about giving women the right information is that they are ready to take action. But so many women are feeling like they're losing their identity. They feel like they're losing their mind at this point because of brain fog and all of that horrible kind of roller coaster of emotions. And now somebody is going to stick a spare tire on their tummy. And you're damn right. It is not fair. This is rubbish. Mother Nature totally messed up when it came to menopause. But, and here's where I get really excited about it. You know, we are now living in a world where we can all expect to live into our 90s. That is fabulous. Think about, you know, the medical advances, the improvements in sanitation and nutrition and all the things that enable us to stay alive. This, though, menopause is the chance to decide what quality you want of those years ahead of you. You know, again, it's that thing. And I often use this as an analogy. This is the moment where you decide, do you want to be the 85-year-old woman who still decorates her own dining room, cleans her own house, does her own gardening? Or are you going to be the one that's sitting in the corner of a nursing home waiting for somebody to come by and help you have a wee? Because really, the lifestyle choices you make now...
Oh, what a terrible insight into the future. Oh, Nigel.
Sue, I think you should tell Nigel, reveal to Nigel, we've already made plans. Me, Sue, and another friend of ours intend to purchase a house together and employ some young gentlemen to come in and look after us. This is our life plan.
I like it. Presumably they'd be bronzed and oiled as well.
100%.
But
you're getting completely the right picture, Nigel.
I like it. Yeah. We're on the same wavelength. But again, the point I'm making here is, you know, at the very moment when I think it's so easy to feel like life is going out of control, actually, it's the moment to take control. But what we live in a society where, you know, we're all desperately trying to deny the fact that we're aging. We can go and get everything lifted. We can easily, if we want to, look like mutton dressed as lamb, you know, and everybody seems to think that's all right. The reality is, if you pretend this isn't happening, it's going to hit you like a steam train. If you acknowledge that it's happening and accept that it's part of life, you can then start making the choices that actually allow this to be the best time of your life. Think about it. Women don't know themselves as well as any other time other than this point in their lives. You know what you find acceptable, what you don't want. Your kids are getting older. They don't need to have they don't need mothering so much. You've nearly always decided you're going to stick with your partner or you've got rid of him by now. In your jobs and careers, you've done the things you want to do by this stage. You know who you are. And then I think, you know, to grasp this and actually take control of your health, because the only way you're going to take control of your health and your menopause is to actually prioritize yourself. Women spend most of their time at the bottom of the pile, running around for family, for their own kids or their elderly parents, trying to manage jobs, houses. We've been telling women you can have it all and then expecting them to juggle it all. The reality is, you know, this now is, I think, the moment to say, right, what do I want? And be able to take it. And that's why, for me, one step in that direction is taking control of your weight, because that's the thing that most menopausal women are peed off about. And it's the one thing you can do something about. But in order to do it, you are going to have to put yourself first a little bit, because you don't need some silly diet off a, you know, off a magazine cover. What you need is a lifestyle plan, a lifelong plan, and you need to get in control of this. And because whatever you're going to do to control your weight now, you are going to have to do for the rest of your life, because you're going to be menopausal for the rest of your life. So a quick fix won't do it. There isn't a magic wand, but all you need is just a few adjustments to your lifestyle and the results start to come. I think that's the thing of acceptance that I'm getting at. I know I kind of make it all sound very dramatic, but the minute you think, right, this is menopause, I don't need a silly diet. I don't need to fast all day or cut out carbohydrates. I just need to eat portions that are right for me. I need to eat quite consciously. There's no point, you know, eating unconsciously half a dozen biscuits whilst I'm watching MasterChef. There's no point, you know, eating stuff in the car. I have actually got to take responsibility for that. I can have a glass of wine, just maybe not a bottle. And all these things, just to kind of get a little bit of perspective, get moving a little bit more, 10,000 steps, doing some weight strength, some strengthening exercise to build that muscle back. And the results start coming. You don't need anything faddy to do this.
Nigel, in addition to weight, one of the big issues that we've talked about is that menopause affects women's mood. And, you know, there can be a day when you just feel like everything's a catastrophe. Is there anything we can do in terms of diet to kind of mood boost ourselves? So in addition to keeping on top of our shape and our weight and everything, can we tinker around with our diet to cheer ourselves up a little bit, other than Toblerone and a gin, which would be an ideal addition? I was going to say Terry's chocolate orange, and I seem to remember that Sue is a little averse to orange and chocolate.
I'm the same with peppermint and chocolate. Mint chocolate, ugh, foul.
Really?
But a Terry's chocolate orange, I could demolish that in an afternoon, no problem.
Me and you on the chocolate oranges then, Nigel?
No, it's the work of the devil. Terry's chocolate orange, the work of the devil.
Short of masses of chocolate and quite a bit of alcohol, what could we do?
There are some things that will really help. You're absolutely right. These low mood, low self-esteem, low confidence, depression even, can all very easily be menopausal symptoms. The reality is some of your vitamins, like the B vitamins, are involved in mood. But hurling yourself onto a regime of vitamin supplements is not going to sort that out. If you are really struggling with the mood symptoms of menopause, the only thing that's going to put that right is the right HRT for you. And I do think, you know, people often expect when they come to see me, the menopause dietitian, that I am going to be giving them a whole load of things to eat instead of HRT. The reality is, if your symptoms are problematic, you need HRT to put those right. I can help you with your weight, with your bones, with your heart, and then I can do some fine tuning. And things that can help around mood are using things like what we call the low glycemic carbohydrates. So these are starchy staple foods that break down to blood sugar more slowly than others in the same group. So it's things like seeded grainy breads, rye bread and rye crackers, oats, baby new potatoes instead of big floury baked potatoes, basmati rice over long grain rice. And these will all just reduce the amount of insulin that gets released that can give you the highs and lows of unstable blood sugars. The reality, again, is if you're really crippled with mood-related symptoms, none of that will make the difference that HRT would. What I want women to have is all the info to make the right choices for them.
I think it's such a big area, and you know, Sue and I have discussed so many elements of it, so it's so hard now to decide what should we finally ask you. But I think what we thought was, Can you give us three pieces of advice to take away that people listening can think, that's something that I can make a start with, that I can do, that will help, hopefully?
Absolutely. So there are resources like your brilliant podcast that could also come along to Harley Street at Home, Menopause, which is my Facebook community. It's totally free to join. And there is just masses of information about weight, about heart health, about HRT, about exercise, and really all very unbiased, all very evidence-based to help you make choices. And I think that's the first thing. So the top tip is get informed. If you go to your GP surgery and there isn't a menopause specialist, ask to be referred to one. You have every right to do that. If you go onto the British Menopause Society website and you search for look for a specialist, you can enter your postcode and that will tell you where your nearest menopause specialist is. You know, it's a long process to get the right info, but you absolutely need to do it. So get informed. I think talk about it. Talk to other women. Talk to your partners, talk to your kids, let them know something is going on for you. You are not the only person in the world going through this, and absolutely reach out to your friends. Ask them, are they experiencing changes? I think this is the thing, it's about change. And lastly, I think once you've got information around you, stop. And then start thinking about what choices you want to make, because this absolutely can be such a liberating period of a woman's life if she's in control of it, if she grabs hold of menopause by the ears and takes charge. And the only way you can do that is to you think about menopause. Pause a little bit here, take a breather, and just think about your life, what you're doing with your life, how you feel, what you want the years ahead of you to be. And that can start to help make a plan of how you're going to get through this period and then the decades ahead of you. So it's all about, I mean, I suppose my top tips are a bit, you know, they're not like eat an aubergine every day. These are very generic, broad terms.
Thank God no one wants to eat an aubergine every day, do they?
Bit tough going, really. But, you know, I really, it's amazing to think. I'm talking to women all over the world, not just in the UK. And actually, we're a bit more advanced in terms of our menopause care than most other countries. You would imagine the US or Australia being streets ahead of us. It's worse. Things are changing here. The workplace is acknowledging menopause. We're talking about it. There are, you know, even our own UK celebrities and actresses are acknowledging it is happening to them, and it will be much better for the next generation. And I suppose if I'm allowed four tips, the other thing I would do is say, talk to your daughters. Prepare them for this better than your mums did. And it's not your mum's fault. Your mums were in a generation where they just shut up and put up, you know, and they didn't complain about it. The world is changing for women, but we have to educate the next generation of women so that they are knocking on, you know, not just the GP door, but the whole health service door, and saying, we deserve better than this. We are 50% of the population. Bloody well treat us better than this.
I feel a slogan on a T-shirt coming on, frankly. Yeah.
I never get tired of talking about it. I'm so glad you girls are doing this.
You're passionate about it, aren't you? That I'm really, I can feel your passion.
It just makes you want to stand up and clap, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you think, though, isn't it? I mean, we've got this world that is controlled really, or has historically, and our whole health agenda has been put together by men. Even the way our GPs are trained was put together by men. How can we possibly have forgotten, you know, 50% of the population and what's going to happen? I suppose the passion comes from seeing women like you, you know, really capable, bright, articulate women who are great at what they do, suddenly being out of a job because you're 50, you know, or losing a promotion because you're 50. We've got so many elements of worrying about being PC and not being sexist and what have you, but we're missing the point, I think. You know, sod whether you open a door or not for a lady and that being okay. What about the fact of just actually give a woman the same chances of having a healthy, happy life? That's, I think, where we start with equality, and we don't have it right now.
Nigel, thank you so much for joining us. Where can we find out more about you, about your groups, and about the programmes that you run?
If ladies would like to come along and have a look on, well, they can find me on Instagram. I'm menopause_dietitian. You can come along to the Facebook community, which is absolutely free. That's Harley Street at Home Menopause. And if you want to contact me directly, my website is Nigel Denby Dietitian, all one word.
That's brilliant, Nigel. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
The Menopod is a Laudable production for Reach, and it's presented by me, Susan Lee, and Dawn Collinson. It's produced by Dan McLaughlin and available wherever you want to listen to our lovely voices, including Apple and Spotify. See you next time.